Hello and welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Kiesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We are here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today, we're going to talk about supportive adults.
If you've been listening along, you know that we have been going through the seven practices of healthy youth ministry. And right now you've already heard the episode with Haley Jo just a few episodes ago about engaging supportive adults in her congregation. And so you didn't miss it, right? We're doing it again. In this episode, we're going to take a slightly different perspective on that. We thought it might be helpful for everyone.
Absolutely. So we know that pastors, DCEs, teachers, and other professional church workers have a special role as supportive adults. They have the time and energy to put towards communication, providing programs, engaging in relational development as part of their job, day in, day out.
It's a great job.
It is. And they get to set that tone maybe for the laity or parents or others in the congregation for how we talk and think about youth in our church.
And we are always excited to see how many youth who take the youth poll at the LCMS youth gatherings say that their pastor cares for them personally. In 2022, 91% of our youth either agreed or strongly agreed that their pastor cares for them as a person, and 64% agreed or strongly agreed that teens are a priority in their church. For our millennial research several years ago, we asked young adults what adults were influential in their lives. Behind parents, pastors, youth ministry staff, and teachers in their home congregation were listed as some of the most influential. We know that having staff of a church that knows teens' names, that shows genuine care for them, makes a big difference in the welcome and warmth that teens feel when they come to church.
We know that some of you have told us you love the seven practices, but that you were working on or maybe even struggling with getting your pastor engaged in conversations around those practices. We thought it might be helpful to bring a pastor in who might be able to give some insight and perspective on how professional church workers can encourage supportive adults and those people who care for them. Joining us to discuss opportunities for staff members to invest in young people is Pastor Ben Meyer. Ben is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Sunbury, Ohio, and president of the Central Ohio Lutheran Immigrant Mission. He and his wife, Christine, have four children, Timothy, Lucy, Cooper, and Boaz. He enjoys making barbecue in the backyard when time permits. And I know I've had many Saturdays where I've been hungry thanks to Ben's social media.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Well, we're so glad to hear about you briefly in that intro, but tell us more about your vocations, your roles in youth ministry, and other things that bring you joy.
Yeah, I get to serve at Hope, which means, it's not a real large congregation that allows for me to serve in all kinds of different ways. So I get to work with the older folks and the youngest in the congregation and everybody in between, which is one of the things I really enjoy. I really love that I get to work with all age groups, and intergenerational ministry really is important to me and how we go about things. And in the last, 7 years, we've also been working hand in hand with Ebenezer Ethiopian, which is a congregation down in Whitehall and in the Columbus area. And our youth groups for the last two youth gatherings have gone together, and we're planning on that again this summer. So we're going to have a great group of kids coming. And we just had an event last night. Our kids got together with the kids from Ebenezer, and it's really cool to see how, even though two different congregations, two different backgrounds, really one in Christ.
Yep. Awesome. Love it.
So fantastic. You just wrote an article about that partnership.
Yeah.
It'll be up about the time that we do this podcast. So if people are looking for more information there.
So one of the things we love to hear from youth ministry leaders is about their junior and senior high school years. Can you share for us how Jesus used a key moment or moments or people to keep you close to him or the church?
Yeah. During my my junior and senior year, well, really end of my junior year, I was really praying about, well, where the Lord was leading, you know, what was I supposed to do? And I was not going to be a pastor. I did not want to be a pastor. I'm a pastor's kid. I saw the stress my dad dealt with. I said, no, no way. Anything but that. I'll be a supportive lay person in the church. And the Lord had other ideas. You know, I'm praying about it, but every time I go to church, I have adults from the church that are saying, yeah, you really need to think about this. I think God is leading you towards being a pastor. And I was three-sport athlete in high school, played basketball and baseball and football. But at church, I was also in our choir. Mm. And it was a lot of the choir members, honestly, that were really important. They invested in me personally. They came to some of the different games and would ask about how things were going. And they were some of those folks that said, you know, you have leadership skills to do this. You really should be thinking about that. And so it was really adults in the church that went out of their way to connect with me, which is one of the reasons I'm kind of passionate about those intergenerational
love it.
Connections.
Those older choir folks are right. A dedicated group.
They are.
A little intense. I love it, though, in the best possible way. So what do you love about working with young people and their parents in your congregation and community?
Well, I love the creativity and the questions that young people have, the honesty that they have. In confirmation class, the last couple of weeks we ran late because the kids started asking questions.
That's the best.
And at one point I said, okay, we got to keep moving here. But another said, hey, no, I know we got to keep moving, but can I ask this? Yeah, go ahead and ask. That's what we're here for. We gotta deal with whatever questions you have. So I love the honesty and the questions that they are willing to ask and the interest that they have. They genuinely do want to know about these things. And then with parents, the different perspectives that you get, different strengths that they bring. So we have some parents that they're regularly there for whatever youth events we're going to have, and they're kind of in the background doing whatever is needed to help out. And we have some that are better for organizing, and you can put them in charge of something and let them go, give them the parameters. And, you know, they're able to take kind of a part in the ongoing work that needs to happen. And that's really nice because it takes it off of my plate, which is usually way too full.
Yeah, that's great. How might in that role, you're talking about the many things that you get to serve, the different people you get to serve, different functions of pastoral office that you are working in day in, day out office throughout that, are also commission ministers and what they're doing in their roles. How do you have a unique situation in your ministry to be a supportive adult to young people in your congregation?
Yeah, as a church worker, as a pastor, you know, I get to know all of the kids. I get to know, I know every single kid, you know, at Hope. I know the things that they're into. I know the personalities that they have. And part of that is, you know, if when you have them in confirmation, you especially get a chance to connect in a much deeper way. And they get to know your personality and you develop some inside jokes. And that time together and time spent in God's word really does make a big difference. But I don't wait until they're in confirmation class for that. I go out of my way with little ones to make sure to connect with them, partially just because, man, little ones are awesome. They're so much fun. So, you know, it's feeding me in that way, I guess, but also because they need to know that they belong to the church. They belong, they're important, they have a place. And as the pastor, you know, they're looking up to you. Mm-hmm. They see you up there and now you make time for them. It's important. They recognize, oh, okay. I'm loved here. I'm cared about. Mm-hmm. I belong in this place. And you know, we do a children's message every Sunday and up come the kids and I get to connect with them during that time. Some of the times I have to listen for a bit before I can get started because they got stuff they want to tell you. But it's important for them to recognize, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, this is their church. As a church worker, you get to connect in ways that not everybody can, because they already they're already looking up to you in that way. Mm-hmm. They already recognize kind of your place in the church. So now if you make that time for them, then they, it helps them to recognize their place mm-hmm. in the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And I love that using that confirmation time, not just to be instructive, but to be relationally developing kind of how you get to know those kids. This does make a huge difference. Are there other ways you've seen pastors get connected to youth in their congregation? And then are there some ways that pastors can encourage older adults to connect with youth in their congregation?
Yeah. So some of the ways that we've done to help make connections with older adults, some of the events, many of the events that we do are intentionally intergenerational, and we will make sure that the youth and the adults and the older folks, everybody is kind of mixed up and sitting together and talking together. But we've also done some more specific type of things, like one year we had our youth go and visit a couple of our shut-ins. We checked with them ahead of time, made sure it was okay with them, but then lined it up for them to go. And we had two different groups that went two different places and visited some of our shut-ins, you know, around Christmas time. And part of that was they developed questions to ask so that they could get to know the people they were visiting. And they still talk about some of the stories they heard from some of those older folks that, you know, one of them, her dad was in the World War and came back at Christmas. Wow. And so she remembers that. And so they still remember that. We've also done some things like, at church, in a similar way with some of our older folks. We did a waffle lunch one time and invited all of the older members to join our younger members, our youth, and the youth helped to serve them, but also then they sat down together and there were some different conversation questions they went through. And so they got to know each other in that way. And what's neat is I think a lot of times older members think the youth don't really want to hear from me. Mm. They don't really want to talk to me. You know, I'm just an old person. And the reality is they're really interested. They really love it when they get those conversations and they develop those relationships and get to know this person. And then they look forward to seeing them at church each week, and they go out of their way to go and say hi, and you know, they kind of check in with each other. So it reinforces for the older members as well as for the youth kind of a vocation that they have within the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kind of mentioned some things there, I think, in that list about intergenerational ministry and those connections that get made. As a pastor or a director of a ministry area in a congregation, the church worker has an opportunity to maybe set a tone or maintain a culture for ministry. In that position of leadership, how can the church worker support a culture that values ministry to young people? And maybe what are some of the practical ways workers set that tone or communicate these values?
Well, I would give a little advertisement for a book, Seven Practices of Healthy Youth Ministry.
Featuring an interview with Pastor Ben Meyer.
Let's read that section.
but genuinely, that is a really good resource. And it's actually something that we're considering doing with our whole church council, going through chapter by chapter and using that as a kind of a way of evaluating where we are on some of these things and having conversations about some of those the values that are you know talked about in that and the practices. So rather than have to come up with your own thing, it's all right there. And what I find is the healthy practices don't apply just to youth. Mm-hmm. It really applies to the whole congregation. And so if we're thinking about those things in terms of the youth, that's also going to help us think about those things in terms of, you know, divorced members, of, you know, older retired members, of members that have little kids, anybody and everybody else. So rather than isolating the youth, it helps us to see them within the context of the congregation. Mm-hmm. So that's a resource I would definitely recommend using and going through with some of your leadership.
I think one of the things I see, as you set a tone, I think, in your congregation, is that I see frequently on your social media you talking really positively about young people. Mm-hmm. Do you think that helps impact how your congregation thinks about that as well?
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. I guess that's just maybe something that that people
you just
that
genuinely like them, which is great.
Yeah, right. They genuinely are cool to be around, and but yeah, I think that does set the tone where if you're constantly complaining about the youth, well, that is going to be kind of the energy that the congregation is going to pick up on. If you talk about and highlight some of the things that they're doing well, or some of the special gifts that they bring to the congregation, that helps the congregation to see those things and value those things. So I think, yeah, that valuing and then highlighting things that the youth are doing and that the youth bring to the church just helps to make that visible to the rest of the congregation.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate, I think that sometimes a youth ministry can happen and be happening. And if no one is bringing it to the front, it can be easy for it to get lost in the mix of all of the things the congregation is doing. And I think church workers and pastors and church secretaries in particular on that one can help make sure that those things stay in front of people. And that helps create that value that young people see. So we love when church workers are so engaged, know their young people, are talking to them frequently, are talking about them, are encouraging them. But there also are some limitations to that as well. So what are some of the limitations or boundaries church workers should consider when trying to be a supportive adult?
Yeah, the great thing about social media and cell phones is that you can always get a hold of somebody. The bad thing about them is you can always get a hold of somebody. So I think you got to set some boundaries for, okay, after 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock or, you know, whatever it might be, depending on, you know, the group that you're working with. If you're, you know, if doing campus ministry, 10 o'clock is not late. If you're me, 10 o'clock is way past anything I'm doing because I am
in
bed. But I think you got to set some boundaries and okay, if somebody texts me after that point tomorrow, I can respond to that. Because I think that can become an issue. You also have to be aware of just things like, not being alone together with, somebody of the opposite sex, not because you're going to do anything, but because of the appearance of impropriety. You don't want to put yourself in that position. And that's where it's important also to work with parents. And if parents are not included in conversations, if you're trying to exclude parents from conversations, that's a big red flag. Parents are an important part of things. And so they need to be, you know, they're the primary caregivers, right? They're the ones given by God to be over these youth. We're here to work alongside of them, not to step in and try to do something that undermines anything that parents are doing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You mentioned this earlier about sometimes the reaction of that maybe an older generation in the church might have towards engaging with young people. I was thinking of it very much the same way. I'm a pastor's kid as well and had a conversation with my dad. And at some point I was talking about how like, no, my friends really like went to like for you to come teach our class, whatever, engage with us. And he's like, oh, whatever. I'm too old. I don't want to be a part of that. And he just would not believe me that like we actually wanted to hear from him. We wanted his wisdom. Right. We wanted that. And I think maybe there were some previous generations where maybe there was a little bit more divide between generations. And I think like you said, truly, like in so many cases, the young people, and they may show it differently, but they want to interact with older generations for that wisdom and those relationships and those connections. What are maybe some other things that you've heard or some maybe ways to get over those hurdles to get the older generation to connect with the younger generation in your congregation when you're having those conversations?
One of the things that we've done is over the summer when it's kind of, what do you do with Sunday school? Mm-hmm. One of the things that we've tried and has worked pretty well is over the summer where we do some intergenerational studies where it's all ages gathered together. And so now it just puts people in the position of, now I'm with these young people and I don't necessarily have to be in charge of anything or mm-hmm. teaching it, but we are talking through these things together mm-hmm. and it gets people a little bit more comfortable mm-hmm. in doing that. So there's some, good resources for that again, on the youth e-source, right? Mm-hmm. Of ways that you can actually do study together with different age groups. And it just, it gives people a chance to connect and realize, oh, okay, I don't have to pretend to be anything that I'm not. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I that's one of the worst things I think adults can do is come in and try to be the cool guy, right? Mm-hmm. You're not, and they know you're not. And the harder that you try to be, the worse it is. So just be who you are, but be interested in them. Have a curiosity mm-hmm. about younger people. And you'll find there's a lot there.
Yeah, I think there's so many adults that think that they have to be a certain age mm-hmm, right. or like might have to understand social media or whatever. I find that young people are really love when they can explain mm-hmm. what's going on in their world to an adult yeah. who genuinely wants to listen, mm-hmm. right? And you don't have to, I think young people can tell when an adult is doing it just to do it or is not really engaged with them. But if you are really engaged in listening to them, they'll tell you all about what's going on in their world, which is a gift.
I think it's a humbling thing for me too. Like, I think sometimes I look back on my high school years and like, I had it all together. I had all the answers. And like working with young people, I'm like, oh yeah. And I remember the like crippling anxiety right? of adolescence. Right? Like, oh, I forgot about how much I would hem and haw about these decisions because I thought about what is everyone else going to think about me? And like to be able, for an adult to be honest and find ways to get into those conversations too and say like, and for a young person to say like, okay, you survived as well by God's grace. That I think it helps an adult too to kind of bring a little humility into their life too and help make those connections to be like, okay, I've been there and done that. And I can now see on the back end of like, okay, by God's grace, I got through it. But yeah, adolescence can be really some difficult and also joy-filled years of as you grow up, gain your independence, figure those things out. And what a wonderful thing to have Christian other adults around you to help you with yeah. that and pray through it and discuss it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that teens love to teach me all the things that I don't know, right? There is something really, like, that's right. I know they have crippling anxiety, but also they know things that I yes. don't. And so the second I'm like, okay, explain to me which smiley face emoji is actually smiley face because I don't understand. Then suddenly we have a space where it's a back and forth. It's a two-way road. It's not just a one-directional. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. relationship.
Yeah, my computer died a while back and I needed to get a new computer for work and I hadn't bought a new computer. I hadn't looked at computers in, 7-8 years mm-hmm. and I started looking online to do some research and realized I don't need to do that. I talked to my 14-year-old and said, "Hey, what do I need to get?" And he gave me the different specs and I went to the store and sent him pictures of the things and he's, "Nope, don't get that one." Okay. Yeah. No, that one's okay. And it was him doing all the research. He had already done all of this. So he knew, and it made it super easy. So, all of a sudden he's important in that context. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to learn anything actually. Mm-hmm. I just got to be guided by him.
This is great.
Personal shoppers. I love it. Yeah.
You talked a little bit about in your experience how those supportive adults encouraged you to consider church work. And certainly Mark and I have had that experience as well. But how can particularly having a pastor or a DCE or other church worker as a supportive adult encourage young people to consider church work as a profession?
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, if they don't have it brought to their attention by somebody else. And church workers are especially in a good position to do that. they don't even consider that that might be a thing. You know, how do you become a pastor? Unless you grow up in a pastor's family, you probably don't even think about such things. Mm-hmm. So going out of your way to make that connection is important. But we have a young man at the seminary right now, and it actually wasn't me doing the going out of my way to make that point. We did have those conversations, but it's actually my wife. She recognized it. She had a connection with him and sat down and said, "Hey, kind of here's what I see. And you can tell me to stop, but you know, we don't have to have this conversation, but here's what I see." And he's like, no, let's talk more about this. And so that led him to considering, and then we had a lot of conversations together as well. But it doesn't have to always be the church worker. It can be anybody in the church that does it. But as a church worker, you kind of know the gist of things. You know what it takes to be in that position. You know some of the pitfalls. You know and you know that person. You know that young person. And you can see in them maybe some things that they don't see in themselves, but you can bring those things to light so that they recognize now, oh, maybe the Lord is calling me down that path. I could become a pastor. I could be a DCE. I could be a Lutheran school teacher, and help them to understand why you see that in them, why you think that might be a direction for them. Because you're in that world. And they're not, and their parents aren't.
Right.
Even considering going to one of the Concordias, unless somebody brings that reality to them and why that might be a really good thing to consider, a lot of people think of it just as another college option, or, well, it's a private school. It's going to be way more expensive, which, by the way, we had a family that had two sons go in-state, one son go to Concordia in Mequon, and the one that went to Mequon did not spend more than the other two that stayed in state. So financial aid is a wonderful thing.
Yes. It really is.
Yes, absolutely. Well, as we wrap up our time here, what encouragement might you give professional church workers as they try and engage their congregation in the seven practices?
I would go again back to the book. If you don't have it, I would definitely get it and read through it, because it's a really wonderful way of just being able to focus on the main things, the important things, and maybe see some areas that you've been blind to, mm-hmm. you've missed. And then after you've done that, I think being intentional about teaching those things in the congregation. You know, why does it matter? That you know who you are, with that deeply rooted baptismal identity. Mm-hmm. Why are these things important? So you can highlight those things, teach those things, and help not only the youth to see that, but the congregation as a whole. Because if we see those practices not as youth specific, but as things that are important for a congregation, then it really helps us to evaluate where are we deficient, where are we doing well, where do we need to maybe reallocate some resources, until you actually think through those things, you just kind of go through the motions. So it gives you a thing to measure against, I guess.
Well, thank you so much for the way that you care for your young people there and at Hope and Ebenezer. And we're grateful. We'll link in the show notes one of the intergenerational studies that you wrote for eSource, as well as some other resources. We're so grateful that you partnered with us for your interview in the book and some other projects. We're so grateful for you.
Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thank you.
As you said in the opening, we'd love to see those statistics that come through on the youth poll and other places when young people they know and they see and they understand that their pastor cares for them. And I think obviously that's probably setting a tone in other ministry areas of the congregation as well. And I can only imagine how many ways pastors are showing their care for young people. That speaks to our commission ministers as well. Those times in God's word, knowing them by name, knowing how things are going in their life, being with them during good times and difficult times as well, and be able to express authentically the love of Christ in word and deed to young people. So thankful for many people who step into those roles, are great examples for us, are encouragers of us, and support one another in those roles too. So again, just thank you for those many, many, many people who invest in the lives of young people in those roles of commissioned or ordained ministers.
I love when we see pastors both using that confirmation time and that time of instruction, or DCEs, teachers mm-hmm. who are using that time of instruction as sort of a launching pad, mm-hmm. especially as those young people are getting into high school, to build that, take the time to mm-hmm. ask their questions mm-hmm. and get to know them, and not just come in with, you know, hey, this is the instruction that we're going to do on that day. And I love when pastors make an effort to make sure they're in attendance at youth events mm-hmm. or that they're checking mm-hmm. in with their mm-hmm. young people and that they're encouraging other people to do that as well. I think that sets such a great tone for everyone mm-hmm. to say, like, hey, this is a group of people in our church. Everyone here is valuable, but this is a group of people that's worth spending some time with.
Yeah. And again, too, to hear just Ben's own story, this kind of goes back to our last episode on this. Yeah. It's just lay people, if you don't think you make a difference in the lives of a young person, just hear those stories. You might not see it day in, day out, but man, those questions, those prayers, those conversations make a huge impact. The Holy Spirit uses you for a young person to understand they're part of the body of Christ and that you care for them. And it's just a beautiful thing. So thank you for all that you do as supportive adults and loving young people as well.
And I love the idea that Seven Practices goes beyond youth ministry. Yep. Mm-hmm. I would argue everybody, not just teenagers, needs at least five supportive friends, adults, who are around us to care for them. And so, you know, making sure that we have things like Warm Challenge and Grace for the whole congregation.
I think we said it before on the podcast. I mean, we felt when we were doing that research and we were seeing the keys to what was keeping young people retained in the church, we were looking at healthy ministry, healthy congregations. And I think it was just congregations that were intentional to show the love of Christ in word and deed, and really took the time to invest, to see young people, to ask good questions, to listen well. And I just love that idea. I think Pastor Meyer said it about, you know, helping them understand their place in the church, that they're cared for, they're valued, and they're loved. And they're not just the church of tomorrow, they're the church of today by the gift of baptism and what we can figure out our roles and how we work together in that way is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's a good to be able to be a church worker and to have that particular role. But we also know that we have limitations, right? There's only, you might be blessed to have more than one pastor in your congregation, you certainly don't have enough pastors for everyone to get the kind of care that we need. And so we appreciate working together with lay leaders and your professional church workers to make sure that all of those young people have those five supportive adults who are caring for them. Mm-hmm. So some closing questions for you to consider. How can professional church workers set a tone that values youth in their congregation?
If you are not a ministry staff person, how can you help build a bridge between young people in your congregation and the pastor and other staff members?
And finally, how can you help provide opportunities for people to build relationships across generations in your congregation? We will continue to keep you in our prayers as pastors, DCEs, teachers, and other church workers, and you build relationships as supportive adults in your congregation.
End Goals Podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. To find links mentioned in the episode or more information about LCMS Youth Ministry, go to kfuo.org/youthministry and find resources for youth ministry at youthesource.com. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church.